America, this is our moment. This is our time. Our time to turn the page on the policies of the past.
Barack Obama claiming victory last night after the end of the last two primaries in the Democratic presidential nomination process. Barack Obama calling himself the Democratic nominee for president. He held an end of the primary rally in the same arena where Republicans will gather in September to officially make John McCain their nominee. We'll talk about the race for the White House, phase two. This hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, June the 4th. We'll talk about what it all means this hour. We'll welcome your reactions and your questions for our guest political analyst, Eric Davis, Professor Emeritus at Middlebury College in Vermont, who joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So Barack Obama claimed victory, but Hillary Clinton did not concede.
Well, Hillary Clinton said she wasn't making any decisions last night, but her staffers made it clear during the day that she would recognize that once Barack Obama went over the necessary number of 2,118 delegate votes, that she would recognize that the campaign had come to an end. And Senator Obama's not putting any pressure on Senator Clinton to get out within the next 24 hours or so. He had nice things to say about her last night. He said earlier yesterday he's ready to meet with her at a time and place of her choosing. So my guess is that they'll meet sometime within the next week, and around the time of that meeting, she will officially withdraw as an active candidate.
Yeah. What should we make of her statement yesterday that if Barack Obama asked her to be vice president, she would be interested in that?
Well, she certainly said sending out feelers that she would like to be considered. Being interested is a long way from saying she would say yes. And of course, it's now Senator Obama's decision to make. And in many ways, this is the first really important decision that he has to make as a presidential candidate, who he wants as his running mate. And John McCain has to make the same decision too.
Why, though, Professor Davis? Even if this will happen in the coming days, why not on the night, the last night of those primaries? Why didn't she say, congratulations, Barack Obama?
Well, it's she's not the only one who's gone through this sort of thing. We remember Mike Huckabee sort of held on for a couple of weeks, I believe, after John McCain had got the necessary number of delegate votes. And these candidates are proud people, and they've been working hard to be president of the United States for several years. And it takes time, I think, just on a personal level to reconcile themselves to the fact that someone else is getting the nomination. But, I mean, it appears that from everything that Hillary Clinton's close advisors have said to the press, she recognizes that her campaign is now coming to an end, and it's figuring out a graceful and dignified way of making that public announcement.
Yeah, she had a big victory, though, last night in South Dakota. Barack Obama had a good big victory in Montana. But, you know, if she has no chance whatsoever, why did we see so many people voting for her yesterday in South Dakota?
Well, actually, what I would say about South Dakota is the turnout was very small. Now, and I think both Senator Clinton and Senator Obama had sort of turned their attention elsewhere. The South Dakota results, though, were surprising to me in one level, in that one of Barack Obama's big supporters is Tom Daschle, former senator from South Dakota. Daschle has been mentioned by some people as a possible running mate for Obama, and you'd think someone with Tom Daschle's political popularity would have been able to turn out his organization to get votes for Obama.
Yeah, but low turnout or not, though, her margin of victory was still pretty astounding.
Yeah, and, I mean, as I say, it may be just that the Obama campaign didn't work as hard there as they did in some other states.
Yeah, and we shouldn't make much of the fact that she is the one who's really piled up the victories in this last half of the primary season.
That actually is an important fact, that basically since the beginning of March, Clinton has won more primaries and more delegates than Obama. Obama built up a big lead on Super Tuesday in early February and held on to that lead. In the other states, the Potomac primary, Wisconsin, that voted in the middle of February. But from early March on, when Clinton won in Ohio and Pennsylvania, Ohio and Texas, and then in Pennsylvania, she's won more states. And obviously, Clinton demonstrated certain areas that Obama and his campaign have to be very concerned about, because Senator McCain is going to pick up on those same areas of apparent weakness in the Obama campaign that Clinton did. White working class voters, particularly men, Hispanic voters, and some women, and particularly among the white working class men. I think that's a group that McCain is definitely going to be targeting.
Yeah. So we know now, or we don't know now, whether the Clinton campaign will challenge the delegate count.
I mean, it's academic at this point. Their argument about Michigan revolves around four delegates, and the difference between Obama and Clinton is much more than four. I think there are some substantive things that Clinton might want from Obama. Probably the most important of them is help in retiring the campaign debts. Clinton loaned herself at least $11 million and perhaps closer to $15 million by the time all the financial reports are in. Now, Obama's not going to be interested in raising money to pay off Hillary Clinton's debt between now and November. He's obviously focusing on his own campaign. But one of the issues between them might be, if Obama is elected, would he help Hillary Clinton retire her campaign debt after the election?
We'll talk more with Eric Davis, our guest political analyst, professor emeritus at Middlebury College in Vermont, talking about the end of the 2008 presidential nomination process, the last two primaries held yesterday, Barack Obama winning enough delegates to put him over the top and claim that he is the Democratic presidential nominee. Hillary Clinton did not concede, but our guest and most people believe that she will suspend her campaign in the coming days. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I want the nearly 18 million Americans who voted for me to be respected, to be heard, and no longer to be
Hillary Clinton last night in South Dakota, following a pretty big win, but not big enough. Barack Obama winning the required number of delegates to claim the Democratic presidential nomination. We're talking about what happened yesterday, the end of this process, and where this goes from here. Eric Davis, our guest, professor emeritus at Middlebury College in Vermont, welcoming your reactions, your questions for him. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. So, Professor Davis, what do you think Hillary Clinton meant by saying, I want respect for the 18 million Americans who voted for me?
What she means by that is she wants the Obama campaign to pay attention to her supporters, to perhaps talk more explicitly about some of the issues that she raised in the campaign. Again, I expect one of the subjects of discussion between Clinton and Obama is going to be health care, and Clinton will push him to move more toward her position on making health insurance mandatory, which she believes is the best way of keeping down costs. She would like him to perhaps pay more attention to the concerns of working-class voters, particularly in states like Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, that have suffered a lot of job losses in manufacturing in recent years.
Yeah, in fact, Barack Obama did talk about some of those issues, including health care, in his victory speech last night.
Yes, he did. And in fact, what I found interesting about Obama's speech last night is I think it, in many ways, is a first draft of the acceptance speech that he'll give at the Democratic Convention in Denver at the end of August. I think we'll see many of those same themes. And in fact, it was very interesting. McCain spoke before Obama, but both McCain and Obama were talking a lot about change. And Obama was making the argument about change that he's been making now for the last 6 months and more, change we can believe in and so forth. And McCain says that he's a candidate of change too. He tried to point out last night some areas of difference between himself and the Bush administration. And then McCain's big argument is that change has to be led by someone who's responsible and experienced. And he would say the voters should consider him more qualified in those regards than Obama.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about Obama and McCain, in essence, starting the general election last night in just a moment. But we have some callers, and Richard in Duluth is with us first. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I would like to ask your guest why the Clinton campaign fell apart at the initial primary contest. I mean, they had everything going for them. They had money. They were like 15, 20 points ahead in some places. They had a lot of experience, and yet they still lost. Was there a Bill Clinton factor in there that people didn't like, or what does he think happened?
That's an excellent question, and I'd give two primary responses to it. First is that Obama simply out-organized Clinton, especially in some of the early caucus states. In Iowa, Obama had more people on the ground. He did a better job of fundraising. He did a better job of turning out her voters. Second, as Richard points out, I think there was some Clinton fatigue, especially in the early part of the process. Whether Hillary was seen as sort of too much part of the Washington establishment and not the change that Obama was talking about, the Bill Clinton factor certainly was not was a major concern. I think Senator Clinton was hurt by Bill Clinton's remarks, particularly in South Carolina. So I would say it was a combination of organizational problems and Obama just having a much fresher and newer appeal.
Oop. And a lot of people are saying that Bill Clinton might be the obstacle or one of the biggest obstacles in Barack Obama choosing Hillary Clinton as a VP.
That's definitely the case. One of the things Obama has to consider very carefully is, does he want the former president sort of hanging around on the fringes of the next administration? And many people think his answer to that would be no. The other concern about Hillary Clinton as a vice presidential nominee is, while she does bring the support of some core constituencies, which I've mentioned, working class voters, particularly white working class voters, women, Hispanics, and so forth, her negatives are very, very high. The polls paint a pretty consistent picture that both Obama and McCain are viewed generally positively. Both of them have positive ratings somewhere in the 60% range and negatives around 40%. With Hillary Clinton, her negatives are very high. I saw one poll last week that had her negatives as high as 55%. And a candidate who arouses that much negative opinion among a significant number of Americans may just be too much of a risk to put on the ticket as a running mate.
So you don't think it's real likely?
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think there are some other directions Senator Obama could go. And I believe there are ways in which Hillary Clinton could serve the country in a very valuable way. She could be, depending on what Harry Reid decides to do, she could become majority leader in the Senate. The idea, though, which I find more interesting, is that if Obama is elected president, there will almost certainly be some vacancies on the Supreme Court about a year from now. Justice Stevens, who's in his 80s, will almost certainly retire, and perhaps Justice Ginsburg, who's in her 70s and has had some health issues in recent years. And I believe that Senator Obama, if he's President Obama, should very seriously consider nominating Hillary Clinton for a spot on the Supreme Court.
Let's take another call. Linda in Monroe, I think, disagrees with you. Hi, Linda.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Professor Davis.
Good morning.
I believe that if the Democrats want to win, Senator Obama is going to have to take Senator Clinton as vice president because he's gotten too many women voters mad at him, and I think she did win the popular vote. Now, my question is, in the last 100 years, who has suffered more, the blacks or the women? Now, if they get together on the same ticket, both of these questions will be answered. And if he can't get along with Hillary, how is he going to get along with the other world leaders?
Well, those are all excellent points. On the women question, I'm not sure if Senator McCain is going to have that great appeal to women, to tell the truth, unless he decides to sort of go the wild card strategy and take a woman as his running mate if Obama has a man as a running mate. Your point about if he can't get along with Hillary, how can he get along with world leaders and others in Washington, that's a legitimate point. And my guess is there's going to be extensive discussions between Obama and Clinton over the next few weeks, which may result in the vice presidency, but at least as I see it now, will probably not. Although, please take anything I say about predictions with a word of caution. I know I've been on your show several times, Joy.
Mm-hmm.
Last fall, if someone had said to me that by the time we got to the summer, Barack Obama and John McCain would be the two parties' presidential nominees, I would have said that,
No one expected this. No one expected this. Yeah. But you know what? Linda represents a constituency of Hillary Clinton's that very, very dedicated, passionate supporters who want to see a woman as president in their lifetime. And maybe this is the one way to heal the divide.
It may be. And as I said before, it's just Senator Obama has to assess the positive aspects that Clinton would bring to his campaign, along with the fact that there are, as I mentioned before, there are a lot of people who don't like her.
Yeah. Next, we go to Bill in Superior. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, very interesting show, and I'm going to kind of go the opposite way of the last couple of points. And I'm wondering, with Senator Obama being half black and Hillary being a woman, I believe there's going to be a certain amount of you hear it. People saying they wouldn't vote for a black, they wouldn't vote for a woman. I certainly don't feel that way myself, but you hear it and you wonder how much of a factor that would be in putting Republicans back in the White House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is going to be a factor, especially in some of the sort of Midwestern industrial states and parts of Appalachia. One of the things I found very interesting is in places like Pennsylvania and Ohio and Kentucky, West Virginia, whether or not Clinton or Obama ended up winning those. Obama consistently did 3 to 5 points better in the exit polls than he did in the voting booths. Now, some of that may have just been due to technical aspects of how the exit polls were conducted. But it is a pattern that we've seen in other states when there have been African-American candidates, where African-American candidates do better in polls than they do on election day. So I'm wondering whether there were some people who told pollsters that they voted for Obama who in reality voted for Clinton or somebody else.
Yeah.
And so at the margin, I think there might be a small number of voters for whom the racial issue will be significant. On the other hand, Obama is going to attract large numbers of African Americans to the polls and is going to be competitive in a state like Virginia where Democrats haven't been competitive for a long time.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if you think that in part explains, or maybe there are other reasons, why when McCain and Obama are head to head in national polls now, here they are neck and neck, or, you know, they're.
I don't think there's that much of a racial thing there. What I find fascinating about the polls now is that voters on the issues clearly prefer Obama's positions on the issues, whether it's domestic or foreign policy, to McCain's positions on the issues. But voters have reservations about Obama personally. I think those reservations have to do with the experience question. They have to do with the same sort of thing that Hillary Clinton was raising with her commercial about who will answer the phone at 3 a.m. So what Obama needs to do for the fall campaign is he needs to keep things focused on the issues. Keep up the argument he was making last night of trying to connect McCain to George W. Bush as much as possible. What McCain needs to do is focus on his own qualifications for the presidency as opposed to Obama, and more importantly for McCain, he has to come up with some sort of a message that in a pithy way can address the concerns of Americans at a time when there's a lot of pessimism about the current state of the country right now.
We will talk more about the Obama-McCain matchup and what will happen this fall in the general election after we check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Wednesday, June the 4th, the morning after the last two primaries in the Democratic presidential nomination process. Hillary Clinton did win South Dakota. Barack Obama won Montana. But Barack Obama also is calling himself the Democratic nominee for president and held an end of the primary rally last night in the same arena where Republicans will gather in September to officially make John McCain their nominee. John McCain says that as young as Barack Obama is, he's been wrong on a lot of issues. McCain told supporters in New Orleans yesterday he's the candidate who can bring the right kind of change to Washington.
You'll hear from my opponent's campaign in every speech, in every interview, every press release that I'm running for President Bush's third term. You'll hear You'll hear every policy of the president is described as the Bush-McCain policy. Why does Senator Obama believe it's so important to repeat that idea over and over again? Because he knows it's very difficult to get Americans to believe something that they know is false.
And he goes on to say that Americans know him, John McCain, and they're just getting to know Barack Obama. Eric Davis, is that going to be a problem?
I think this is one of John McCain's biggest problems for the fall campaign. The Republican Party is at about the lowest level of support it's been in since the time of Watergate. George Bush has the lowest approval ratings of any president since Jimmy Carter. And Obama is going to make the argument from now until November that McCain doesn't represent change, that while McCain and Bush may differ on some issues like global warming, that in the overall view of American foreign policy and the place of government in American policy domestically, there's much less difference between Bush and McCain than there is between Obama and McCain.
And
that's an argument that Obama will make every day from now until November.
And he did last night.
Definitely
it's
did.
It's not change when he promises to continue a policy in Iraq that asks everything of our brave men and women in uniform and nothing of Iraqi politicians. A policy where all we look for are reasons to stay in Iraq while we spend billions of dollars a month on a war that isn't making the American people any safer.
All right, so where do you see this going from here, Professor Davis?
Well, where I see it going from here is that Obama and McCain are now focusing on each other. The conventions aren't until late August, early September, and the big decision that each of them needs to make between now and then is choosing a running mate. But what they'll be doing over the next several months is traveling around the country, particularly to the states each of them think are going to be key competitive states, and beginning to lay out the general themes of the campaign. I expect Obama's now also going to pivot and start running some advertising. And McCain has been running some TV advertising, mainly in Ohio in recent weeks. Now that Obama has wrapped up the Democratic nomination, he'll start devoting more and more of his bankroll to general election advertising.
To the phones we go. Again, Matt in Oshkosh is with us next. Hi, Matt, you're on the air.
Good morning. This might seem a little bit of an off-the-wall question, but if you think about all of the angles, it may not seem quite so crazy after all. What if John McCain would decide to choose Hillary Clinton as his running mate if he felt that would guarantee him a win in November? I think it's possible that Hillary would consider it because of McCain's age. She may view this as her best opportunity to end up in the White House because McCain, with the stresses of the president, may not survive his first term.
Well, Professor Davis?
Well, I don't expect that McCain would ask Hillary Clinton to be his running mate. However, there is a wild card that McCain might play here. And it's a risky one. It has the same sort of risks that Hillary Clinton on Barack Obama's ticket is, and that's McCain putting Condoleezza Rice on his ticket as the VP candidate, an African-American mm-hmm. woman, after all. The problem with Condoleezza Rice, though, is she's worked for President Bush for the last 8 years, so if McCain wants to distinguish himself from Bush, having Condi Rice on the ticket may not help, but I think she's someone that he probably will want to consider. It may not be the choice, but she could help counteract some of the Obama advantages.
Yeah, but McCain himself sort of touts his foreign policy, national
yeah.
security credentials. Doesn't he need
yeah.
somebody on the economy more so?
Yeah, I think that's what he needs. And the problem for McCain there, though, is that the people who are sort of well-identified as Republican spokespersons on the economy, Mitt Romney, for example, the sort of free market, keep cutting taxes approach that the economic conservatives in the Republican Party are advocating, that's not where the American people are right now on economic issues. What the American people want on economic issues is somebody who'll do something about high fuel prices, who try and restore some confidence to the American economy, put a floor under housing prices, and so forth. And whether continuing to talk about tax cuts and free markets is going to address those concerns, I have my doubts.
Our next caller is Sarah in Pell Lake. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I thought the Hillary Clinton speech was everything but her coming out and saying she secedes the race. She kept talking about how everyone traveled with her and how, you know, she will remember every story and she will take it with her on her next journey. And, I mean, she kept talking about how everything's going to be remembered and she will remember when she goes on to her next endeavors. She mentioned that several times. And I felt that that was a very, very much saying that thank you, I appreciate your support. However, I'm just not going to continue. On the flip side of that, with Barack Obama picking a vice president, would John Edwards bring in the same constituency that Hillary Clinton brought in, or would there be a huge gap with more of the women voters and maybe some Latino voters as well?
Okay, those are both very good points. On Hillary Clinton's remarks, yes, I felt as I was listening to it that this was sort of wrapping things up, but she was also, as I was listening to her, saying that she might very well be back running for president again. If Obama wins, she could wait 8 years when she'd be 68 years old, younger than McCain is today. And if Obama loses, she could come back in 4 years. As for John Edwards as the running mate, I don't think he would be Obama's strongest choice. It's hard to see what John Edwards brought to the Kerry Edwards ticket in 2004 in terms of helping with the electoral vote. There might be a place for John Edwards in an Obama administration if he's elected. Secretary of Labor might be a position he'd be good at. But I think Obama, if he doesn't choose Hillary Clinton, I think he'll go with someone who might be able to help him win the electoral vote of a key state or two.
Thanks a lot, Sarah. Julie in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wondered what the speaker or the guest would think about the issue that some of the very strong Hillary Clinton supporters would actually feel very strongly about not voting for Obama. And this isn't a race issue, I don't think, or really a gender issue. I think that they're very different candidates and that it really has to do with that. I think that Obama is a bit scary because I don't think he is really a strong leader. He's charismatic, but I don't think he has substance, and we haven't heard about much in terms of real position and substantive plans.
I think the best way of Obama responding to that concern is to lay out for Hillary Clinton supporters that, again, going back through the primary campaign, polls consistently indicated that there was little difference between the positions on the issues of Hillary supporters and Barack supporters, whether it's the Iraq War, whether it's economic policy, whether it's health care, taxes, abortion, the environment. There wasn't very much difference. So what Obama needs to do is make the case to Hillary Clinton supporters that his positions on all of these issues are much closer to the positions Hillary was talking about in the campaign than they are to the positions that John McCain is advocating. And so that gets back to a point I was mentioning before the break, that I think what Obama needs to do over the next 3 or 4 months is focus as much as possible on the issues where the polls indicate the public is more sympathetic to the Democrats' positions on most major domestic and foreign policy issues than to the Republicans. And McCain has to figure out a way to get the attention off of issues and on to candidate characteristics, experience, and qualifications.
We're talking about the end of phase one of the race for the White House, the last two primaries held yesterday in the Democratic presidential nomination process. Barack Obama has seized the nomination. He has enough delegates. Hillary Clinton didn't officially concede in her speech last night, though many are expecting that she will suspend her campaign in the days to come. Or is she holding out to be vice president? What does this all mean? And what about John McCain and Barack Obama starting the general election in their speeches last night? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. What do you think? What questions do you have? I'm Joy Cardine talking with Eric Davis, Professor Emeritus at Middlebury College in Vermont, and this is the Ideas Network.
In the coming days, I'll be consulting with supporters and party leaders to determine how to move forward with the best interests of our party and our country guiding my way.
That's Hillary Clinton last night telling us what's next. So what is in the best interest of the country and the party? How will Democrats unite? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. How do you think Democrats will unite, Professor Davis?
I believe Democrats will unite. That, again, Obama has time until the convention. The convention's not until the end of August. And he'll start reaching out to the Hillary Clinton supporters and to Senator Clinton herself. Another thing Obama needs to do is to bring on board some of the major political figures who are supporting Senator Clinton. I'm thinking of people like Ed Rendell, the governor of Pennsylvania, Chuck Schumer, her Senate colleague from New York. These are people who are influential in their own states and would be able to help Obama a lot. So he'll be meeting with them and trying to get them publicly identified as his supporters.
It says that hours after Barack Obama called the party nomination his, Democratic leaders are urging their party's superdelegates to unite. A statement from DNC Chairman Howard Dean, Senator Majority Leader Harry Reid, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is urging the remaining uncommitted superdelegates to make their decisions known by this Friday. Is that important?
Well, it really isn't, because Obama has passed the threshold, so what these other superdelegates do doesn't really matter. I felt yesterday there was a little bit of sort of jockeying going on during the day among Washington-based superdelegates to try and be the final one, the 2,118th. Congressman Clyburn from South Carolina, the House Majority Whip, perhaps wanted to be that. But in the end, at least if you go by the Associated Press count, it was the voters of Montana that ended up putting Obama over the top. And I believe the Obama campaign did want to win the nomination through winning some delegates in a primary rather than from getting superdelegate endorsements.
Not to stir the pot, but can't these delegates and superdelegates change their mind come convention?
They can. They aren't formally bound. But again, the ones who are elected officials, they have their own constituents to think about. And if they were to switch, I think some of them may have to face their own voters either this fall or in 2 years and have some explaining to do.
Yeah. Jackie and Nina is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to say that I've been a lifelong Democrat. I'm 55. I supported Hillary Clinton in the beginning. I was leaning more towards Obama. As the campaign went on, I really didn't like what I was hearing from his side. And, you know, you never really heard anything. I know one of the other callers said you never heard anything substantive. And I don't think that he ever said anything substantive. And I think it's the same rhetoric, just said a little more smoothly. This will be the first year that I'm going to vote ever for a Republican if Hillary Clinton is not on the ticket. I just he doesn't have the experience. I can't see it.
Yeah, and you don't think, Professor Davis, that there are a lot of voters out there?
They are. There are, and Obama has to work on those voters between now and November. And as I said, I think it's talking about the issue differences between Obama and McCain that will do it. Now, what that means is Obama does, responding to the concerns the caller had, Obama does need to get more specific about policy. I mean, McCain is likely to rerun that speech with Hillary Clinton sort of talking about, you know, the clouds will burst, the sun will shine, and you know, where Clinton was criticizing Obama for just being a rhetoric-based campaign with no substance. And I'm sure McCain's going to play that Hillary speech over and over again this fall.
Yeah. So I heard Obama was, I haven't watched every single speech he's made in the past several weeks, but has been putting more public policy and issues and substance into his speeches.
He has, but I think one of the things he should do, and interestingly, McCain is starting to do it. McCain is going around and making these speeches on major issues. He gave one on Middle East policy yesterday or the day before in Washington. Now, it was quite a controversial speech, some of his remarks about Iran and so forth. But at least he got up there and for 45 minutes sort of laid out some of the central themes of what his foreign policy would be. Obama needs to do the same thing. Obama has really not given a big set-piece speech on economic issues or foreign policy for a while, in part because he's been focused on wrapping up the nomination, in part, frankly, because he's been focused on issues like the Reverend Wright and Father Flager and things like that.
Next, we go to Tamara in Madison. Hi.
Good Good morning.
Good morning.
I was calling to ask, you know, because Hillary has really expressed that she wants to be vice president. So I have two questions. Part A is, if he takes her as vice president, what are the ramifications for that, positive and negative, politically? And B, if he does not take her, what's a consolation prize that he could give her? Is it attorney general or secretary of health and human services that she would be satisfied with? And I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay. Yeah, we touched a little bit on this, but...
Yes. In terms of the advantages Senator Clinton brings, it's her supporters. In terms of the disadvantages, it's her relatively high negative rating, plus, I think, at least in my mind, her husband. The consolation prize, as I said earlier, I think the Supreme Court would be the best consolation prize, so to speak. Otherwise, I think the best thing for Hillary Clinton would be, rather than be in the Obama administration, would be to stay in the Senate, and depending what Harry Reid wants to do, Hillary Clinton could become majority leader of the Senate, and if Obama is elected, she can work on getting his legislative program through the Senate, especially working on issues like health care that she's been identified with for a long time. If McCain ends up winning the presidency and Hillary is the Senate majority leader for the next 4 years, that would be a great platform for her to use to run again for president in 4 years.
Yeah. You know, Hillary Clinton's high negatives and her husband did not stop her, though, from winning really big in these last few primaries and garnering, a tremendous amount of votes. So why would it hurt Obama to put her on the ticket?
Well, the general electorate is larger than the primary electorate. And The concerns I have about the negatives are, first of all, again, you go back earlier in the primary season. The negatives have to do with sort of personal integrity issues and honesty and so forth. And McCain and Obama both score very well on those kind of attributes. Hillary Clinton does not score so well. Second is that the Republicans, I think there's nothing that could energize the Republican Party more than Hillary Clinton on the ticket. It would be the sort of what Hillary used to call the vast right-wing conspiracy. Mm-hmm. But Rush Limbaugh and people like that would be thoroughly energized by the idea of Hillary Clinton on the Democratic ticket.
Yeah, and yet Hillary Clinton supporters, vast majorities, want her on the ticket. And
That's
on the other
right.
side, the Obama supporters don't.
Right. And, I mean, it's unclear who Obama would choose if it wasn't her.
Who's known better? Who's
a
proven winner?
Known better. Mm-hmm. I mean, someone whom I've always thought of could move into that role would be Bill Richardson, the governor of New Mexico, who used to be in the Clinton administration as UN ambassador and energy secretary. He comes from an area of the country, the Southwest, that's going to be key in the Electoral College this year. He's been popular as governor of New Mexico. New Mexico, interestingly, has. In the recent economic downturn, New Mexico is one of the few states that's actually continuing to grow, in part because Richardson has taken the somewhat paradoxical position of a Democratic governor of cutting taxes in a major way to encourage businesses to relocate to New Mexico.
Yeah. Well, I'll bet you Bragan writes, Professor Davis, we'll check back on your prediction, and my prediction is she will be asked and she will take it.
Well, so. we'll know, I would think, by the convention's at the end of August, so I would think Obama would choose his running mate by early August at the latest.
Yeah. Mike in Appleton, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. What international event, you know, being that the election is in November and our attention span is very, very limited, what international events could swing the election one way or the other?
That's an excellent question. I would say two things. One would be something that happens in the Middle East that would cause an even greater spike in the price of oil than we have right now. The other would be if there's, I think we don't really know where Russia is going, and if there are things that Russia starts to play games with Eastern Europe and some of the former Soviet republics. But I would say the first one, something geopolitical in the Middle East that would cause the price of oil to go up even higher than it is now.
Yeah. On the other hand, if the economy starts recovering and news of the war in Iraq is going well, that bodes good well for John McCain, doesn't it?
That would bode well for McCain, right. Mm-hmm. Now, my sense is that we'll have a sense by late August, early September, how the economic numbers are doing. Again, if you look at previous election cycles, it's when voters cast their decisions in November, they have in mind how the economy's been doing in roughly the 60 to 90 days before the election. So it's not what the economy's doing today in June. It's what the economy is doing from basically late August through Election Day.
Yeah. In our last minute, very short term, you expect within the next few days that Hillary Clinton will suspend her campaign?
Yes, I suspect she will do that within the next week. I also expect that either late this week or early next week there will be a long meeting between Senators Clinton and Obama in which they'll talk not only about the vice presidency but about some of the important policy issues of the fall campaign.
It continues to be very interesting. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Joy.
Eric Davis, Professor Emeritus at Middlebury College in Vermont. We thank him for being with us. We thank you for listening and for calling in. Thanks to Rob Ferret, Cynthia Schuster, Karen Prager for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444, or you can listen to our talk shows archived on our website, wpr.org. By the way, we will, I'm sure, talk more about the race for the White House and the latest political developments in this hour tomorrow. This is the Ideas Network.